passed out a flyer, and I was trying to figure out what we're gonna do. I love this. The court, Ecclesiastes 4:12, it says a cord of three strands is not greatly broken. And the importance of what the study is today is about relationships and having the camaraderie.
If you don't learn that word by next week,
And the relationship that we have with one another, you know, we go, especially guys, sometimes as we get older, we go through life and all of our bonds and friends or whatever, they either pass away, move away, or that, and sometimes you wonder, where are all the people?
Coming back into the world.
So you know, this if somebody could read this, I might be at a good strong voice there.
A friend gave me a house plant she'd owned for more than 40 years. The plant was equal to my height, and it produced large leaves from three separate spindly trunks. Over time, the weight of the leaves had caused all three of the stalks to curve down toward the floor. To straighten them, I put a wedge under the plant's pot and placed it near a window so the sunlight could draw the leaves upward and help cure its bad posture. Shortly after receiving the plant, I saw one just like it in a waiting room at a local business. It also grew from three long skinny stalks, but they had been braided together to form a larger, more solid core. This plant stood upright without any help. Any two people may stay in the same pot for years, yet grow apart and experience fewer of the benefits God wants them to enjoy. When their lives are woven together with God, however, there's a greater sense of stability and closeness. Their relationship will grow stronger. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. Ecclesiastes 4:12. Like houseplants, marriages and friendships require some nurturing. Tending to these relationships involves merging spiritually so that God is present at the center of each important bond. He's an endless supply of love and grace. The things we need most stay happily united with each other.
Amen. You know, this morning I was reading, as I read this, I was coming here. It's kind of interesting because it talks about that plant that were woven together. Anyway, they were a woven together, and they were strong, and they grew. That's great. But then you know what I thought about was that lady that put that stake in the middle to give them the strength to come together. And I said, man, that's Christ right there, man. You know, put that stake right in there.
That'd be the center of everything.
It has to be. And then what I was thinking about, you know, like as we are, that plant that wasn't woven together, separated, but you know what? As God brought them back together as one and tied them together, you know? So now that we may be singular, but we're plural because of the connection of the stake and what he did on the cross and the woven together as men, and that's what our friendship, and that's what God's wanting us to do, you know? Because usually what happens is, I mean, we're seeing this more and more, you know? Tommy was, I miss Tommy. He was right there when we, bless you, my friend. And we were right there when we started the ministry, and we went through a lot of stuff together. We had fun, we fought, but we respected and loved one another, you know, so you know, I miss that relationship with him, you know, that closeness that we had, you know, and so I don't know, anybody have any testimonies of the people, places, or things that you missed or something of that nature? Relationships, yeah. Nobody has somebody that they miss and is not together with them or what?
I don't like people, so it's never been a problem.
nice clothes for them. Do you like plants?
Well, how about this?
I'll get in there.
Fritz, weren't we at the St. Pete Diner? How long ago was that?
What, 20 plus?
I think they're smoking different. All together in pot does not mean what it sounds like.
Oh, 20 plus.
Yeah, I'd say 25, but they're same way with LC and MC and such like that. And I feel like I come back together and back to this breakfast and that. I said to somebody, you know what, 30 years, we'll just round it off. 30 years, and I've never called you. I don't even have your phone. I've written it down in my Bible about it, but I never got in touch with you. And I was getting pretty dire straits. I mean, literally out there. And I said, Fritz, can I call you? And I just called him, and we talked and chatted. But it started that, man. And then I thought, well, don't get dependent on him, you know. I'll let you see. And then, out of the clear blue, God gave him a revelation to call Phillips. It created a connection. And it was like, man, that being alone, you only see you once a week, whatever. But the connection helped me keep walking, keep growing. And Romeo here at Harry's, and, you know, because all I had was unsafe people. I mean, demonically inspired people. And I think, God, that on my reunion with my brother, he's like my twin, yesterday, he's helping me get my property taxes. And I mean, it was just freaking me, nightmares, everything. I'm trying to make this shit. But, I mean, I couldn't get it off of me. But like he's saying, this is, I just couldn't get it off of me. And then finally just brought this guy along and said, yeah, I want the thing. And the guy just lifted that oppression off of me. Just like, yesterday, I mean, we're working all over the place. And my brother and I, and we're hanging drywall. Now, I've known him 45 years. But he is working, he's driving, he's over here. I can call him and he talks 2 minutes, he's done. The reason I'm trying to say that is we finally joined together, and finally we agreed together, and finally there was major changes. And all of a sudden it was like all this stuff, demonically inspired us, whatever you want to call it, just started lifting off. So Father, in the name of Jesus, I just want to pray. Right now, your mother is in God's hands. I've had to let go of somebody I care very much about. It's just ripping me up, it's tearing me apart. But I have to say, I have to trust God. I have to head in that direction. I wasn't heading in that direction. I was going the wrong way. So I have to say this again. Thank you guys for being consistent, loving me. Mahoney, Mark, Mike, Andre. And so the friends that I'm back connected to are you guys. I wouldn't be here. I wouldn't have the peace that I have if it wasn't for Fritz, if it wasn't for Mark, if it wasn't for Romeo, if it wasn't for Rebecca over there, Disney.
Kitchen.
Now Roy, I don't know about. I don't like him. So Jesus is faithful, but he uses you. Okay?
For his hands and his feet.
Yes, and without you, I can rebuke everything in the world. See? Get that?
You know, throughout the year, what I miss people like Andy.
Yeah.
When you were saying that, I was thinking of Andy and Gordon and people that had gone before us.
Yeah,
you know?
Elsie and I were talking about doing a memorial wall over at his office of all the people that we've throughout the years in this group that have gone. John Thielman, he's gone.
Like you got a flag.
All these folks
smack my
that were really influential in this group and in my growing in the word and stuff, especially Andy, man. What an incredible person, you know? And so it was people like that that when we were doing ministry, you know, that I know that when I was when I was in the world and growing up, and you know, we were involved in street gangs in Chicago, that I know that I had two people along my side that I always had, that I know they were there because they would cover my back.
And their names Aaron and Hurt?
No, they weren't Hurt. These guys were always covering my back. I never had any problems with them, you know, but I did walk with some people that if something did happen, these guys ran to hide and hid. And so, you know, you want to be around people that are going to help and support you, and people that you admire. And this is what we're talking about. You know, you guys be silent and not say that there's anybody that you even thought about is kind of weird, you know?
This in school, you're weird.
I got a couple of friends from all the way back in high school.
Yeah.
And you kind of think, well, your high school buddies and stuff like that, and you forget about them and everything like that. But you don't. It's like, I went back to my 45th reunion or whatever like that, and we all got together and hung out all weekend and everything, but
they kind of... You were only 39.
I am, but I... Anyway, but the thing about it is they're kind of like, I mean, I met Bob Duke. He lives on Galveston Island. Back when we were running around chasing girls from up with people and stuff like that. And that,
wow.
What?
And Randy's the same thing, out of high school or whatever like that. He married his high school sweetheart or whatever. I know Mary very well. And now he's got a bunch of kids splitting image of him or whatever. When he puts them on, I get pictures of them and stuff like that. And you think they're him or whatever. But the amazing thing is just when you think you're going to forget about them and stuff like that, boom, all of a sudden they send you a Facebook thing or whatever with a bunch of pictures or saying, when are you going to come by and visit? Or right after, they just had a really bad storm in Texas, and I was worried about him on Galveston Island, because Galveston Island got like 25 inches of rain and all this stuff, and wind and everything. And he's kind of like the curator and the keeper of the parks there on Galveston Island or whatever. So I got back together with him to find out what was going on with that. And then shortly after that, Randy sent me something. So people kind of just come in and out of your life, in and out of your life, kind of like wave of the sea or something like that, right about the time you're, and it's really cool because they're interested in what you're doing or whatever like that, how your family's doing. So it's nice.
I was just thinking, one of the things that we don't think about too much is it's like a three-strand cord because you have the mother, the father, and the child, okay? And that's what makes the strength of the child, helps the child to grow. And that's one of the things that's missing nowadays. A lot of families, there is no father. In some, there is no mother. And sometimes I've heard stories where siblings have actually filled the gap, okay? But that's not always the case. Okay? And that's a good example of a three-strand cord.
That makes me a loving strand cord.
My brother was an alcoholic. go to 5 or 6 AA meetings a day. And he said, he told me many times that he thinks that that saved his life. And it probably did. But people in AA, they network really well. They have sponsors and they reach out, and they always have somebody they can call when there's a problem. And it doesn't have to be I'm sitting in a bar and I'm thinking about drinking. It can be any kind of problem. And that's something that we need to do. Again, we're back to the whole phone number thing. We don't network. We get together once a week and we talk. But when we have a problem, we internalize that. We might pray about it. We pray about it, but we don't reach out to one another saying, hey, I'm struggling with this in my life right now. Or I need counseling for this. Or I need advice. Or I need encouragement. Or anyway, I think we need to...
I like that, Mike, because what a great example of, matter of fact, if you go into the next page over here, and it talks about in Mark 2:7, where God sends people out, and when he sends them out, he sends them in twos, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, when you're in the service, in the army, you're an apostle, when you go to training and all that, you got those guys that are right there. They're your buds, they're your friends, you know? And when bullets are flying and whatever, you know, those guys are right there. And you might get hit, and I love that movie with Forrest Gump. He went after Bubba, you know? And he was looking for him when he was down. But see, that's a camaraderie and a brotherhood and relationship that we're talking about. Unfortunately, we don't see as much of that as we used to see in the past. And even within the body, within the church, you know, we know each other and all that. And the scripture here is telling us, the Old Testament law, okay, as Jesus moved by the Galilee proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God and demonstrating the presence of Jesus through works of power, he sent out his disciples to share in his mission. And that is, he shared in his mission with his disciples. And Jesus gave them authority over demons and as well as power to heal. And this way, they were able to carry his message. And he, you know, when I started the ministry as a dream center, you know, I had some really good people alongside of me. And I would have been able to do it on myself. And these people were diehards, man. They were there for the ministry. They loved the things we were doing. And I always say that even when we had a ministry that I cured a lot of people, I got embarrassed because we were doing so many outreaches and reaching out to a lot of people. And some of them, after a while, they get tired. They have to move, you know, back out. But the point is that you can't do nothing on your own. You can't do nothing on your own. And you know, and I'm gonna tell you right now, I don't like wishy-washy people. I like people that are there because we have a common interest and a common goal. And we come here in the morning, and when we come here in the morning every Friday for 20 years, because we have a common interest. And that's Christ. And our common goal is that we know, a lot of us know each other outside of the service, you know? And outside of this. But it is important for us to, you know, to follow. And we need those people. But yet, you know, Mike, you were right on point. You know, we as men, we internalize things. We walk around I can have this and all that. You don't have a shoulder to cry on. I know when I was married, my first marriage, and I went through a divorce and all that other stuff, and I met a pastor, Katie, he asked me, who do you have to talk to? who do you have you can talk to? And you know what, man? I just busted out, man. Because I didn't have anybody. I knew a lot of people. You know a lot of people. But who do you do? Who can you talk to? You got people like, and I pray that I'm going to get an Elgin here for a minute. What? Because Elgin's a real prideful guy, very proud.
Strong.
Yeah, but he's also internalizing a lot of stuff. Who does he have to have to talk to? You know, who do you have to talk to? Last time you go by, and we need to be able to, if we're going to do a kingdom work, for what God calls us to do, especially these latter days, he says that we need, you know, the Old Testament, when Jesus sent the people out, he sent them out of two. There's several reasons that occurred, you know. And first of all, when you're ministering, you're teaching people how to minister, how to work. Like if you're working with LG and you're working as a mechanic or something like that, you know, you're in training. You'll be discipled in that area. You'll be taught. And I think that in the body, this is why I think that this is good. And my heart is always this: what's really going on in your life? What's really happening? You know, Chris don't talk too much unless he has other people he talks to. And it's good that you guys connected. And we're all going through stuff, you know. But if we do not work together for the kingdom and the glory of God, what are we doing? With the Lone Ranger, you know, at least the Lone Ranger had talents, you know. And so I was thinking about all these guys, like this little kid had poncho, you know. And Tarzan had, I'm not going to say Jane, he had the chief fantasy, you know. But, you know, that's the importance of what Scripture is talking about, is that a core of three strands is not quickly broken. And the whole emphasis on that is when you're going somewhere, you fall down, a person is able to help you. And, you know, that's what the Word of God is telling us.
When you were talking about the military guys, reminded me, they have a conference this weekend in Tampa, and they have 43 of the winners of the Medal of Honor.
That was really powerful, yeah.
And they've been running it on the news on Bay News 9 or whatever with it. And to a man, they were doing interviews on him or whatever like that. They were bringing him in their blazer, with all wearing a white blazer with the Medal of Honor thing there and everything, and to a man, every one of them said that I wear this for the guys in my unit, or I wear this for the guy that was with me while we laid there or we were dying or whatever. I jumped on the grenade, but he was right there with me or whatever. Every one of them, to a man, sits there and thinks that they don't deserve it. They were just doing their job.
Yep.
I mean, not that they're not honored or whatever like that, but it doesn't belong to them, it belongs to the people that they were with at that time or whatever.
Represents.
They all think that the real heroes are the ones that didn't
make it. Did make it, yeah.
I've heard them say that a lot.
I buried it in the name.
You came back to post again, huh?
Wow.
The challenge is here we are.
Thank you. That was good.
And we talked off. We shared it. But is there a change happening?
Sure.
I like what Mike did. That he brought that thing so everybody could have each other's phone number in case something happens. You know, I like that.